I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. In our present study, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law." And I remind you that the Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. It's like a cluster of grapes. All of these things fit together. I want to look today at these different virtues, or these things that make up the cluster, the fruit of the Spirit. First of all, we see love. Now, love is carefully defined by God in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You can read that later. And true love is not a feeling, but a choice. It's a decision to love another person and to be willing to sacrifice self for the sake of that other person. It's to seek God's highest and best for the person we love, regardless of the cost. And of course, the perfect illustration of love is what Christ did for us on Calvary's cross. The Bible says that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Love involves giving. And we see a great example of that in John 3:16, where it says, "God so loved the world that he gave." Of course, he gave his only begotten Son. In Galatians 2:20, the Bible says that Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me, that's real love. Now, giving of oneself involves personal sacrifice. And such love is produced by the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 5:5. And this that is produced in the believer, it's produced there because the believer has been born of the Spirit, according to John 3:5. And the love we find listed in Galatians chapter 5 shows itself by its self-denying and compassionate devotion to God and His Word. In Galatians 2:20, the Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." And that verse concludes by saying, "Who loved me," and that's Christ, the Son of God, "who loved me and gave himself for me." In Romans 5:5, the last part of that verse says, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And of course, that love is part of the cluster of the fruit of the Spirit. And then we see the word joy. Joy is delight and gladness, even during difficult times. And the Lord Jesus made it possible to share His joy, according to John chapter 15 and verse 11. And the Holy Spirit produces this joy, even in troublous and testing times. In James 1:2 it says, "Count it all joy." And then we are to rejoice with joy unspeakable, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. We're to do this until we see our Lord and Savior face to face. And happiness depends on one's outward circumstances, but joy depends only on the Lord, who never changes. And for this reason, the believer can always be rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice evermore." And Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Love and joy, part of the cluster. And then we see the word peace. The believer has peace with God, according to Romans 5:1. And he's no longer at war with God. He no longer is an enemy of God because he has been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And because of this reconciliation, the believer is able also to enjoy the peace of God. First, you have peace with God, and then you can enjoy the peace of God, according to Philippians 4:7. We can enjoy this peace as long as we are controlled by the Spirit and in fellowship with God. You know, Jesus left us this peace so we could have an undisturbed, untroubled, unafraid life through the Holy Spirit. And as children of God, in the midst of great tribulation, we can have peace in a great Savior. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you," this is Jesus speaking, "that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It's through Jesus Christ. And then we see the word long-suffering. Now this word means long temper. In other words, slow to anger, long before getting angry. In other words, you're slow. It's that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation. And this long-suffering does not hurt somebody in return for their unkindness or for their hurting us in some way. This long-suffering is the opposite of anger. This is the description of the believer who, without being angry and without the thought of revenge, shows patience and forbearance to those who annoy, oppose, molest, or treat him or her badly. And you know, God has been long-suffering towards us. Even though we deserve God's wrath, God holds back his anger and patiently waits for sinners to turn to him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That means be willing to accept Jesus Christ. And then we see the next part of the cluster of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And this gentleness means being kind to a person who may or may not deserve kindness at all. And God was kind to us in his grace, even though we did not deserve one drop of his kindness. And this gentleness that's spoken of in the cluster is a virtue that the natural man, the unsaved person, cannot produce. The Bible says in Romans 3:12, "There is none good. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And the saved man is to put on kindness and gentleness, as you would put on a piece of clothing, appropriate for one who is a new man in Christ. Colossians 3:12. We do this because we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He's kind. We are able to be kind and forgiving to others because of this kindness that he's shown us. Now, I can forgive others knowing that God, in his kindness and grace, has forgiven me. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And the next word in the cluster is goodness. God is good according to Psalm 100 and verse 5 and Psalm 34 and verse 8. And God's children are to let the Holy Spirit bring to life this virtue in them, reflecting to others the goodness of our God. And twice we are told that goodness is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9, where it says this, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." This goodness expresses itself in the believer's willingness to give of himself unselfishly. It also involves repaying evil with good. You can read all about this in Romans chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. And then we see the word faith in the cluster of the fruit of the Spirit. This word can mean faith or faithfulness. Faith, trusting in the Lord, is the root. Love and all the fruit included with it is the fruit. Faith, the root, which worketh by love, the fruit, according to Galatians 5:6. In a sense, Galatians 5:22 is speaking of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. We can have this faith as God works through us by the Holy Spirit. And I believe Paul is probably here in Galatians 5:22 referring to what faith produces, and that is faithfulness. The faithful person is dependable. He can be trusted. You can count on him, and he will not let you down. the person who has trusted Christ as Savior and is letting the Holy Spirit produce the fruit of the Spirit is a reliable person. And then we see the word meekness. Some dictionary definitions fall far short of the true meaning of the word meekness found in the Bible. Some dictionaries define meekness as mild, showing mildness or quietness of nature. Some say it's cowed, C-O-W-E-D, showing submissiveness and lack of initiative or will. In other words, to make submissive, to frighten somebody into submission or obedience. Others say it's lacking in courage, lacking strength. Well, these definitions and others found in some dictionaries would mean that meekness is equivalent to weakness. And of course, those definitions of meekness do not convey the true meaning of the biblical word meekness. Meekness as part of the fruit of the Spirit cluster means anything but weak or frightened. In the Bible, we are told that the Lord Jesus was meek and lowly in heart, Matthew 11:29. Was Jesus weak? Was he weak when he drove out the money changers from the temple? One man was driving out a whole group of men. He turned over their tables. He turned over their chairs. No one dared to resist him. No one dared to get in his way. They quickly cleared out. And certainly this was not a display of weakness. And also we see Moses in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3 as he was described as the meekest man in all the earth. When we think of Moses, do we think of weakness? Would we have wanted to be near him when he got angry at the sin of the people and started smashing tablets of stone? No, meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control, power under control. And happy is the person who says, Lord, my life is yours to control. Lead me, teach me, show me thy way. And blessed are the meek, Matthew 5:5. The meek will be guide in judgment, and the meek will teach his way, according to Psalm 25 and verse 9. Temperance. This word means self-control. The believer's eyes are on the goal of winning Christ's approval, according to Philippians 3:8. It says there, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. In other words, Christ's approval. The believer's fleshly nature and fleshly works are rendered ineffective as the believer is filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. As the believer walks in the Spirit, he will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The Bible says, against such, the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. There is only a representative list listed here in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, and it's not an exhaustive list. There is no law against being loving, joyful, and enjoying God's peace. Love, along with all the cluster of the fruit of the Spirit, is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 13, verses 8 and 10. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Trust Him right now if you've never trusted Him to save you. May the Lord bless you.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.